listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 31 of Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live. I'm Kyle Sutherland alongside our baseball guru, Kevin Bohannon. And if you like what we've been doing, be sure you're subscribed to the show so that way you are alerted whenever we release a new episode, as we do each week. You can do that on Spotify. And of course, you can also listen on scorebooklive.com under the Arkansas tab. We are finally here, fully in postseason mode, not just for the small classes, for everybody, 1 through 6A in softball and baseball. It is crunch time, and hopefully, Kevin, we finally get to stop talking about Mother Nature ruining things, because I know you're sleep-deprived. I'm extremely sleep-deprived for having to catch up through Monday. And of course, I didn't do anything on Sunday. I felt that my wife and my mom deserved a little bit of my time for Mother's Day, since I'm always buried into my phone and computer, but the postseason is here. Hopefully we have nothing but nice weather, even though it's probably going to be in the 80s and 90s from here on out.
Yeah, happy belated Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And I know we have a lot that listen to our show that are coming to our website supporting their kids. But, yeah, it's state tournament week, and that means, you know, everything's online. Everything is one game at a time. We had some really good regional tournaments. Like you said, Mother Nature pushed it back to where – a lot of regionals were playing 8 games in 2 days. Now, whether that be on Saturday, Monday, or Friday, Saturday, a lot of coaches and booster club members were dead dog tired after that weekend, but it was so worth it to see the joy in a lot of these teams' eyes and see them dogpile on the mound. And we had some great games yesterday. We had a 13-inning affair, and then we had another 10-inning game up in Northeast Arkansas in the 4A East Regional that featured a Kevin Copps-like performance, and we'll get to that here in a minute.
Yeah, it was definitely wild where I was at, too, and in Carlisle, the 2A North Softball Regional, and, of course, there was also the baseball literally right there across the walkway. I was able to catch a little bit of that as well that we'll get into, but definitely in the championship game between EPC. You can go read about it on our site that I wrote between EPC and McCrory in that one. It was definitely plenty of fireworks there, particularly in the 7th inning, but we'll go ahead and get rolling with some baseball in Class 1A. It's the only classification that really didn't see many upsets or surprises. I don't think that we're really extremely shocked by that. But as expected, you know, Westside ended up playing Izard County. Westside won that game 10-4, and they defeated Norfolk 2-1. Just great pitching and great defense, Kevin, that you've talked about with Westside pretty much all season. Norfolk ended up taking on Hillcrest in the consolation. I think that was the consolation game. Yeah, 8-2. They got a little tied up there. And then Taylor in their regional lost to Ouachita 8-7 in a tight matchup there. Of course, the Warriors had lost to Taylor 13-7 earlier in a matchup. And then, of course, all of the 7 ranked teams that we have currently from the 1A2 and the 1A4, and we can expect them to dominate next week or this week in the state tournament.
That's right. And last year, Ouachita defeated Taylor 8-7 in the regional semifinals, and this year they got to face each other in regional finals. Ouachita, of course, we've talked about this just about every week on the show, that Coach Nail prepared these guys for postseason play. They've played 30 ball games now. If you've played 30 games by the time you get to the state tournament, your freshmen are now sophomores, your sophomores are now juniors. They've gotten the experience to take on any adversity that may come their way, and they played really good baseball yesterday. I know Coach Nail's really excited to get to host their state tournament down there. He's worked really hard, and the community of Ouachita, they've reached out to us over the past year and just, you know, expressed their gratitude in, you know, putting a spotlight on that community, which is right outside Arkadelphia. And we're really looking forward to getting down there this week, Kyle. I know you and I are going to be in that area for the 1A state tournament. But like you said, no surprises. Westside, Izard County, they were projected to play in the finals of that regional up in Region 2. That's what happened. Norfolk almost pulled the upset again with Westside Grish Ferry, but you got to keep those three teams right there at the top in the same order. Westside, Izard County, Norfolk, they seem to be playing the best ball. with Wichita right behind them. So expect those four plus Taylor. That's the way it's going to match up this week. And the good thing is they're not matched up in the first round of the state tournament this year like they were last year. So you'll get to see some of those better teams, you know, get a little bit further into the tournament this year.
I want to touch, before I ask you the question I was going to, I want to go back to what you mentioned about Wichita. Yeah, they've been absolutely great this year. Extremely, they've been very involved and, you know, sharing our content, putting it out there. Because like you said, they do appreciate the covers that they're getting. But a couple of weeks ago, we went down to Lake Wichita to meet up with some friends and family and stuff. And it was a really bad wreck. It was that Saturday that that really bad wreck was on 30, like two or 3 weeks ago. So we took 67 from Benton, where I live. And I had never driven past. I knew that Wichita was in Donaldson. I had never driven past it. I don't take 67 very much, but it is a beautiful campus, Kevin. I don't know if you've been there right on the highway.
Yeah, it has.
It's a beautiful campus and really nice. So I've never been to a game there before, but definitely a beautiful place there. Like you said, there's not a lot around there, but the school definitely stands out. They definitely do a great job of keeping it up. And so, yeah, we certainly appreciate the support that we've gotten from Wichita. It's definitely been, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours type thing, but they've earned it, you know, both softball and baseball for what that they've done. And so going to be fun to watch them in the state tournament. But the question that I had, and I ask this pretty much every week, because we always go back to Westside, Izard County, and Norfolk. And it's just kind of been a, you know, the Norfolk, the Party Crashers, they had some big wins in that conference this year. Of course, Izard County is who they are. Westside Greers Ferry is who they are. But this week, if you're picking somebody, and of course, I'll ask you the same thing next week, just because those three teams are, it's not that they're wishy-washy, it's just that they play each other and they're all so good. And so where are you at, you know, as far as your favorite this week? Are you going to take the number one ranked Westside Greers Ferry?
Yeah, I'm going to take Westside because their side of the bracket is easier than the other. So they're going to play Lead Hill in the first round, and then they're probably match up with Taylor. I think the depth right there will separate itself with Westside. And then on the top four teams in that bracket on their side are Scranton, Hillcrest, Mount Vernon, Enola, and Mount Ida. So if you're looking at the way I project it to happen, Hillcrest is a tough four seed because they do have an ace that will go out there and could beat Scranton. So you'd be Scranton, Mount Ida in the second round. And then by the time you get to the semifinals, assuming Westside was able to get past Taylor, you might see a 15-2 ball game at that point because you're third day in, and Westside, they have the depth. They've got Coach Shane Davis has said he's got four guys that he doesn't mind throwing out there in an important game and giving them the ball at any time. So that's where, especially in 1A and 2A, the depth will come into play. And if you've got a few guys that can compete at that high level, that's going to give you the edge.
And going to 2A, there was some upsets in that one. We'll start with the wild weekend that Woodlawn was upset by Murfreesboro. I know that you've been pretty high on them pretty much all season. We've talked about them a little bit here in the past, but the Rattlers had been in and out of the Super 7 rankings, and they pretty much showed that they could beat anyone. Now, they did fall to Dirks in the championship game. I believe that was like 6-5. It was one or two runs. But also, McCrory had to go to extra innings to beat Bay in the opening round of their region. Like I said, I was at this one, so I was able to catch a little bit of this one, as well as I was pretty much turning around in my chair every time I would hear the crowd cheer. But of course, on Monday, BIC, it was pretty much all them, 7-0 in that regional championship game. Southside B Branch defeated Melbourne 14-10 behind an offensive explosion. Razorback signee Easton Swafford had three home runs in that game. He's been on a tear. I know, Kevin, you've talked about the kind of stats that he's been putting up this year. And then Southside ended up beating St. Joe 9-6 in their regional tourney. And so I'll give you a little bit to kind of break down those and some other things that happened in 2A over the past few days.
Yeah, and we'll start at it like this, Kyle, because – look at these matchups for the 2A state tournament. This is a brutal first round. Dirks has been playing good baseball. We saw them shoot up the standings in Woodlawn's conference. They weren't able to beat Woodlawn during the regular season, but they kept creeping up there. It was them and Parker's Chapel pushing for that two spot. They're going to play Bigelow in the first round. Bigelow was the tri-champion out of the 5-2A. And, of course, we saw Southside, St. Joe advanced to the regional final of that. St. Joe, of course, beat Bigelow. So Bigelow is a conference champion. They get to play Dirks. Then you got Acorn and Rector. Rector will roll in that one. Then you got Southside, who won the Central Regional, playing Horatio. Horatio was in the Super 7 earlier in the season, stumbled down towards the end of the season, the regular season, but they were able to get into the state tournament. Tough draw right there. McCrory will roll past Lavaca, Mansfield, Riverside. And then you, at the bottom of the top side of the bracket, St. Joe and Woodlawn. So for St. Joe, winning their regular season as a tri champion, then they get to the finals of their regional. They lost, you know, to Southside, who was a conference foe. For that loss, they get to play Woodlawn, which will be a tough game, but this should be one heck of a matchup. Then you got Buffalo Island Central, Mountainburg, and Murfreesboro and Melbourne at the bottom of the bracket. So you got ranked teams playing each other in the first round. How does that happen? You lose in a regional. If you don't take care of business at that time, it's the luck of the draw. The AAA puts these regions together in the state tournament before anything ever happens, before the season even starts. So you got teams that are looking and saying, well, if we're here, we may play these guys. Nobody expected Woodlawn to lose to Murfreesboro. I guarantee you there were maybe 20 people in the state that thought that would happen, and all of them reside in Murfreesboro. But Alex Bailey, he's going to go play baseball in college. He's a really good pitcher. He can shut a team down. So I still think it's McCrory's to lose. Of course, they did struggle with Bay. Nobody saw that coming. So anything can happen this time of the year. You saw a little shuffling in the standings. Buffalo Island Central, they did what I expected them to do by rolling through that regional. But it was good to see them play somebody outside their conference and dominate. So kudos to them. And Southside, the B Branch Hornets, they got to the finals last year, lost to Woodlawn. Easton Swafford, he should be Gatorade Player of the Year. He's put up a stat line that's common in video games. He's hit over 600. He's got 10 or 11 home runs on the year, and he's just led that team. And you got to give it to him. So tune into the 2A state tournament next week. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be in Southside, so it's not too far from Central Arkansas. If you get a chance, get up there. It's going to be some great baseball.
Yeah, I'm looking at that second round matchup that could be Southside McCrory, and that one's really enticing to me. I mean, I'm just looking at the bracket here, and yeah, it's, you went through it, but yeah, it's going to be extremely difficult. But before we get into 3A, I want to talk about Carlisle for a second. I think that was really shocking that they lost to Riverside. That was a tough day for Carlisle, for both the softball and baseball teams. Of course, Carlisle hosted, and then they both lose to Riverside. Now, Riverside softball, I can definitely say that they are going to be awesome in the next couple of years. They got a team full of freshmen. They've got really hot at the right time. They've also got an incredible eighth grade class from what I've gathered. But kind of run us through what happened. Riverside won in baseball. Riverside won 5-1 over Carlisle. Pretty shocking. I think that was definitely one of the top ones that we didn't see coming in, or at least I didn't.
Yeah, and I've done Coach Stephen too for a long time. Back when we first met, he was a coach at Maumel Charter. Then he moved to Bauxite as an assistant, and then he got the head job at Carlisle, and he's done a great job with these young men. He's an advocate for these kids and will do anything he can to put these guys in a position to succeed. And I didn't approach him that night because getting over the loss that ends your season, it's going to take a little bit, but he was very gracious to talk to me. He said they left a small village on the base paths, and they knew the game plan that Riverside was going to attack them with. They were going to go fastball, off speed, curveball, fastball, curveball. That's how they were going to attack their hitters. And they were chasing pitches out of the zone, very uncharacteristic of that Carlisle lineup. And you got to give it to Holden Jones. The sophomore was everything Coach Two could have asked for on the mound. He went 7 innings, had 9 strikeouts, scattered 6 hits, but they made a couple of costly errors, and Riverside capitalized on that. And at this time of the year, especially for high school kids, they have a lot going on. They've got graduation. They've got AP exams. They've got their significant other that may be playing on the field across from them. So there's a lot that goes on in that, to where their head may not be in that specific game that's going on. And sometimes that plays a factor. Unfortunately, it looks like it may have here. So it was an upset, but they've got a lot of good young talent, and their big three of Busick, Holden Jones, and Dalton Ward, they'll all be back next year. So that's not the last you'll hear from the Carlisle Bison.
Then going up to Class 3A, tell me if you've heard this before. Harding Academy is just absolutely dominating. They outscored their three regional opponents 25-1, and cruising to another title. Rosebud, we talked about them. They took a few steps back there for a little bit, but Russ Martin, as he has done all year pretty much, he's just been was great through a complete game that was a masterpiece in the Ramblers' 2-1 victory over Walnut Ridge. Manila, the final 3A3 team left, finishing runner-up to Harding Academy. And then Ashdown defeated conference runner-up Genoa Central 8-6 in their regional title game. All four 3A8 teams advanced to the state tournament. The surprise, Kevin, we talked about this a little bit via text, was Haskell Harmony Grove. They got upset by Camden Harmony. Or I'm sorry, Camden Harmony Grove got upset by Haskell Harmony Grove, Benton Harmony Grove, whatever you want to call it. That was a team, Camden Harmony Grove was, that we've talked about being one of the hotter ones there in Class 3A. But again, you know, another upset, as we mentioned, as have happened in 2 and 3A that we've discussed so far. And then finally, Elkins had a little bit of a shocking. I mean, I know Paris is a really good team there with Duke Walker on the mound, the Missouri commit, or maybe a signee now at this point. But Paris ended up beating Elkins. I mean, they throttled them 15-5 in the regional championship game. Again, you know, not taking anything away from Paris. They're a great team. But I don't think many people saw that coming, at least with that big of a lopsided victory for the Eagles.
Yeah, Elkins, they're a dramatic team. They stole home in extra innings to win the game. And it was in extra innings against Danville on Saturday night. And they were riding high. We had an eye on Elkins about midseason, right after spring break, that they were kind of shooting up the standings, shooting up the rankings, and they beat Bergman. They won their district title, and they didn't have it yesterday. It's a well-coached team. When I got to talk to their superintendent when they were going through the hiring process, and Corbell, he is a great young coach. He learned under some of the best. Jimmy Harris, who was at Shiloh Christian, he's at Stillwater High School now. Lance Spigner, he's really turned the Elkins program around. They're going to win 20 games for the second consecutive season. But, yeah, Kyle, the upset of the first round of the regional was number 2, Camden Harmony Grove, getting beat by Haskell Harmony Grove. Those two played earlier in the year. It's a trophy game in high school baseball. You got to love it. And Camden had won that game, I think, 13-8, 11-8, something, somewhere along in there. So it was really shocking to see because, you know, Camden Harmony Grove coming into district play, they were 23-3. And then they lost their last three ball games. Great season by the Hornets. But Haskell, they're going to be a tough four seed for somebody. And I misprinted that in our rankings today. It's all four of the 7 3A teams.
How dare you?
I know. Slap me on the wrist for that one. All four of the 7 3A teams advanced to the state tournament. You really didn't see anything else. Harding Academy, like you said, they've won 92 straight ball, whatever it is right now. They're 27-3 on the year. I think they're at 22 now, actually. That, and the one run they gave up was unearned. They're healthy, like we've said before. All three of their guys, Levi Lane, Gavin Albetti, Kate Smith, pitched in the regional. Kyler Hooger was another one that pitched in the championship game against Manila. Manila could make some noise in that 3A state tournament this week. But Harding Academy is going to get Boonville round one. Genoa Central plays CAC. Paris, they'll get it right away. They get to face Russ Martin and the Rosebud Ramblers. Their prize for winning their regional, you get to face one of the best freshman pitchers in the state. Let's talk about Episcopal. Coach Eddie Stevens' team, Eddie Stevenson team. I've known Coach Stevenson for a long time. They played a 13-inning affair last night, lost to Palestine Wheatley. Drew Grumbles in the bottom of the 12th hit a triple off the wall. He got stranded with two runners on, but Coach Stevenson gave his team a lot of credit. The last five innings, he had to rely on a couple of junior varsity players to pitch, and they were lights out. They only gave up one run, and that was in the bottom of the 13th inning. So Episcopal's playing really good baseball right now. They're going to play Prescott in the first round. Prescott, Karsten Poole, he's got 11 home runs on the year. Of course, he was the quarterback of that state runner-up team to Harding Academy. That should be a really good matchup. Ashdown, the Panthers, they rolled through their regional. Of course, they beat Genoa Central, like we said, 8-6. They're going to play DeWitt in the first round. They shouldn't have any problem there. Elkins and Pangburn will be a good matchup. Palestine Wheatley, the four seed from their district tournament won their regional. So they get to play Haskell Harmony Grove, which ended up being the fourth team out of that Region 4 and that tough 7-3A conference. That will likely be your 4-over-1 matchup in the first round. And then Manila and Danville, that'll be a really good game. These teams, two teams have played each other in the past. Danville, they, of course, they were the regional champions last year. They swept it. They got the Triple Crown last year, conference, district, and regional title. They finished third this year with that loss to Elkins, but they did beat Boonville pretty handily yesterday. I think it was 12-2. They can hit. They can run. That'll be a really good matchup in round one against Manila.
I always make the comparisons with baseball and softball, kind of like how, you know, certain teams are doing. And I think Harding Academy in 3A really reminds me a lot of Tuckerman in 2A. Had some setbacks, had some injuries, particularly, you know, with Cade Smith and Gavin Elvetti, you know, two of the top players for Harding Academy. The top player for Tuckerman, McKaylee Gist, had an arm injury. I mean, she ended up playing at the plate as she was batting, but she couldn't pitch for a little while. But now that she's back and they've pretty much got everybody together, they've got them all clicking, it's going to be tough to see anybody beat them in 2A. But it's very similar, you know, there in 3A with Harding Academy. Now that they've got everybody back, they're clicking, it's late in the season, it's just tough to imagine the Wildcats not going back-to-back. You don't ever want to say it's not going to happen, but it's just tough to imagine. But moving up to Class 4A, the 4A South Regional in Malvern, it started off with back-to-back walk-off wins by Monticello and Fountain Lake. Arkadelphia, we've been talking about them for a long time now. They came back to win in the semifinals against a very good Star City team, and then they eventually beat Monticello in the championship game, capping off 3 wins in 2 days. Kevin, I think that's what, like 11 in a row or something, or 11 of 12, something in that range. I know it's a lot. I can't remember exactly. I'll let you get into that. But the 4A1 conference, they showed it may be the deepest and most talented of as all four teams advanced from regionals to the state tournament. Huntsville got back to its winning ways and stole home late in the championship game to take the lead against Harrison that helped on that victory. Regular season and district tournament champion Farmington dropped games to Huntsville, Shiloh Christian, to Huntsville and Shiloh Christian, maybe the best 4 seed ever in the state tournament. And I want to get into this with Lone. I wanted to save this for last. You can kind of put it wherever you want, but you mentioned earlier there was a Kevin Copps type performance in the PA. I think it was the PA Lone Oak regional championship game. And I'll let you again talk about that. I know that it was basically a heroic performance. Guy comes in basically with a couple on and then pitches 9-10 innings. I'll let you get into that because I don't know all the details to the extent that you do.
Yeah, and it was the PA Robinson semifinal game. We had some pitching performances in that regional up in Northeast Arkansas that you just got to tip your cap to. And it started with PA and Brooklyn in that first round game. Kel Busby and Jack Henry Pettit both went complete games, combined for 23 strikeouts, only 1 walk. PA beat Brooklyn 2-1. Got a nice message from Coach Bill Taylor. He's retiring. We want to congratulate him on a great career at Brooklyn. Brooklyn was definitely one of the top 3 teams in that regional, and that came from another coach from another team. It was just PA's night. PA, of course, went on to beat Robinson in that second round, and that's the matchup we're talking about. Robinson got up 1-0 early in the game, and Coach Billy Adams decided to go to his 1B ace, Patrick Ingsgov, and Patrick's dad, John, played basketball for the University of Arkansas, if that name sounds familiar to our listeners.
Yeah, he was on the national championship team.
Yeah, he won the national championship. But Patrick, really good baseball player. He's kind of a Swiss Army knife for the Bruins. He can play anywhere. So he's played third, short, second, and been on the mound. He's been a part of some really big games. They beat Lone Oak earlier in the season in a doubleheader split. And they beat Jonesboro, but Kel Busby was able to go the distance that first game. Patrick came in with 1 out in the bottom of the first inning with 2 runners on. He went 9 2/3 inning. PA won the game 4-1. They came back and scored 3 runs in the top of the 10th inning. But Patrick threw 110 pitches, which is the AAA limit, in 9 2/3 innings. That is efficiency at the highest level in high school baseball. He did not walk anybody. He struck out 8. it was a masterful performance, and it got me thinking back to the when Kevin Copps came in against Nebraska last year. Of course, Jackson Wiggins started that game, but Kevin came in and dominated for 7 2/3 innings, I think it was. Because Jackson got through 1 1/3. And it really reminded me of that because he just shut Robinson down. Robinson's playing really well. They won the 5-4A. They're going to be a tough out for somebody. But Lone Oak and Valley View, they were the number one, number two teams in the state yesterday, coming into yesterday, and they played at 10 o'clock on a Monday morning. That was frustrating. That's what Mother Nature does, but we digress. That's when it was played. And so, some of the players, were, I think, were still asleep at 10 o'clock yesterday morning. There were a lot of errors, a lot of walks. I talked to Coach Matt Snyder last night from Valley View, and yeah, Lone Oak won that game 12-7, if you haven't seen yet, but Lone Oak ended up winning that regional, and congrats to the Jackrabbits, the best Lone Oak team in the past 20 years. I know they won the state, or got to the state finals in 2011, but this is a really good Lone Oak team. They scored 12 runs against Valley View, and I think three of them were earned. Yeah. Valley View kicked the ball all over the place, and they came back and thumped Robinson in the consolation game 12-0. So that's going to set up a first round matchup for Valley View against Farmington. And like I said, Farmington may be the best four seed that's ever have been there because they got to the semifinals last year. They had just about everybody back. Trey Hill's going to UCA. Michael White, middle infielder, is really good. They've got a lot of guys. They got 7 or 8 seniors. Coach Jay Harper won his 300th game. So that first round matchup is going to be really big. Shiloh Christian finished second in district conference tournament to Farmington. Got the 3 seed out of that 4A North. They're going to play Fountain Lake. Monticello and Robinson, that's another great matchup. You got two conference champions facing off in the first round. And then Harrison and Star City. Star City, they gave Arkadelphia all they wanted. They were up 4-1. Arkadelphia came back and won that game 7-5. Star City swings it just about as well as any team in Class 4A right now. The good thing about PA getting to the finals, every year, there's only 12 teams that make the 4A state tournament, and there's 3 regions, but you have 4 byes. So there's a second-place team out of each region that gets a bye every year, and they rotate it among the regions. This year, the East got that second bye, so PA is going to get that bye. On the top of it, you got the one out of the East, which was Lone Oak. They're going to get a bye. Arkadelphia gets a bye. Huntsville gets a bye, and then Pulaski Academy gets that fourth by to the second round. So they'll play Friday. 4A is always a bunch of fun to get out there. So if you're down in Southwest Arkansas and Nashville, get out and see some great baseball, great facilities. Coach Kyle Slayton has one of the best fields and best setups in all of high school baseball in Arkansas.
Yeah, Nashville, it's all of their sports facilities are incredible. And I always joke about it. I've done it on this show. I've done it on previous ones. And I've said it for years. But it's so funny how their football stadium is like this state-of-the-art stadium. And then right behind the scoreboard is a bunch of cows in a cow pasture.
Yeah.
that's part of the state. I mean, that's – and, man, Nashville, as you talk about somebody – I talked to Boomer Brown, their softball coach, all the time. I mean, just about every day. And, they are just crazy, crazy about their sports. And now that – of course, softball's been good for a while, but then now that girls basketball – just won a state championship. I mean, that just gives them even more firepower. I have a lot of respect for that town, but I always take jabs when I can because that was a big rivalry. Take friendly jabs when I can.
Yeah.
Just because that was a big rivalry, you know, CAC and Nashville back when I was in high school. But yeah, big amount of respect for the Scrappers, and they got some incredible facilities down there in Southwest Arkansas. But going up to Class 5A, Van Buren is going to go to the wire to wire as the number one team when it defends its state title this week in Hot Springs. Jonesboro has the deepest pitching staff, and to win 3 games in 3 days, they're going to need all hands on deck. Senior Ty Rhodes is the glue that holds the Canes together. Marion continues to be hot, maybe as hot as any team in 5A. Also, Sylvan Hills, they are also up there with Marion as the hottest team, winning 11 straight conference games to claim the 5A Central title. Also got a little help from Benton as they split with Little Rock Christian. Kevin, the surprise, we talked about for a long time just how well El Dorado's done. They've had a slip up here and there. But Sheridan came into the week as the 3 seed in the 5A South and ended as the number 1 seed after defeating El Dorado 9-3. And then also, I think Lake Hamilton gave him a little help there as well. Evan Ward pitched a gem there for the Yellow Jackets. But, you know, that's tough. You know, coming in, you know, that's great for Sheridan. But with the way that El Dorado's played, this is not the time of year that you want something like that to have. It's one thing to maybe be like in the middle of the season coming into the week as the one seed as El Dorado did and Sheridan as the three and then have a little hiccup there. But this is not the time of year that you want to have that happen if you're the El Dorado Wildcats.
That's exactly right. And there was they all three finished 10-4, Lake Hamilton, El Dorado, and Sheridan. And Sheridan was kind of scoreboard watching that week because they saw that Whitehall beat El Dorado 1-0. Then they saw Lake Hamilton beat El Dorado. They knew if they could beat El Dorado by a certain amount of runs that they would be the number one seed. And they did it. Evan Ward came out, pitched a gem. Their offense played really well. Connor Canterbury, that offense put up 17 runs against a Conway team earlier this year. So we know they can hit. We know their capability. They're 19-10 on the year. Never count Coach Moore and his Yellow Jackets out this time of the year. I've seen firsthand what they can do in a state tournament, and they can get there and dominate. They lost the first round last year, which was an upset, but that was an aberration. So be leery of the Yellow Jackets. They jumped back in our rankings this week because they did finish strong, and that's what you want to do this time of the year. They come in at number 7. Little Rock Christian, they're playing really good baseball. They beat North Little Rock 16-9 yesterday in kind of a tune-up game for this week's state tournament. Benton beat Catholic 4-1 yesterday. So the Panthers, they're getting back on track. So don't count them out, even though they're not ranked, along with a team like Batesville. And then you got Sylvan Hills. They're playing good baseball. They're 20-10. And just want to give a shout-out to Coach Denny Tipton real quick. Zach James, who my dad – he's an assistant coach at Sylvan Hills – played for my dad at North Pulaski. Coach Tipton has kind of been the best story from Sylvan Hills. In 24 years, he's won 518 games, 4 state titles, 2 runner-ups, 12 semifinals, and 15 conference championships. He got his 500th win earlier this season. So Sylvan Hills, we talked about them, Kelvin Battles, Alex Davis, Langdon Mormon, Marquez Gooden. They're the fastest team in the state. They stole 192 bases last season. They're well on that pace this season through 30 games. Sylvan Hills is going to be a really tough out. They've got a good draw in the first round against Russellville. But then you got Greenbrier, Marion, Jonesboro, and, of course, Van Buren to round out the top 4. So let's look at the bracket real quick. At the top of it, you got Van Buren, the number 1 team. They're going to take on Maumelle. Maumelle is going to have Tag Andrews and another pitcher waiting in the wings that's a freshman that can really compete. So that could be a low-scoring game that, you know, Van Buren needs to be on upset alert. Problem is, how is Maumelle going to score? The offense isn't really there, so they're going to have to put together and piece together some offense to beat Van Buren. Then you got Jonesboro and Lake Hamilton. You got Jonesboro, who tied for the 5A East, and Lake Hamilton, who tied for the 5A South. They're going to match up in the first round. Another conference champion versus conference champion in the first round. Then you got Sylvan Hills versus Russellville. El Dorado and Batesville, the pitching matchup for the first round. Austin Jobe, who was once committed to the Razorbacks, is now committed to Crowder, will throw for the Wildcats, and Batesville will counter with Gagewood, who has, I think, 106 strikeouts in 46 innings this year, having another masterful season for the Pioneers. I think Batesville can get out of that one. Sheridan faces Greene County Tech. Greene County Tech, of course, was the 4 seed last year. They upset Little Rock Christian en route to their semifinal finish. I don't think they get past Sheridan this year. Little Rock Christian and Mountain Home will be a good game. Little Rock Christian holds the edge right there. Reese Torini will be a factor in that game, the left-handed pitcher for the Warriors. He's a junior. He's had a great season, sub-1 ERA. Teams are hitting like 106 against him. So I think Reese shuts down the Bombers. Marion and Whitehall. Whitehall's scrappy. They beat El Dorado 1-0 this week. So Marion will have a fight on their hands. And then the matchup that I'm looking for, you got an all-Panther matchup, Greenbrier and Benton in that first-round game. Greenbrier's going to throw Razorback signee Jordan Husky. Benton will counter with UCA signee junior, or he's a commit, junior Jake Jones. You got a lefty versus a righty right there. So Hot Springs is going to be hopping on Thursday and Friday this week. They're going to split the games between the brand-new Majestic Ballpark. They just hosted the GAC Championships, which wrap up tomorrow. And they will also play the games at Lakeside High School. And then for round 2, go back to Majestic. So if you're in Hot Springs in that area, get out and see some great baseball. 5A is always fun to watch because there's a lot of upsets that could happen.
And then finally, last but not least, as I always say, in Class 6A, Rogers dropped a close game to crosstown rival Rogers Heritage, but they had already clinched the conference title, so we're not putting a whole lot of stock in that. Little Rock Catholic playing championship-caliber baseball. Kevin, really towards the beginning and in the middle of the season, we were talking about really, I guess you could say dominance, but at least the extremely strong consistency from Catholic, but they kind of dropped off a little bit there and then really picked back up as the 6A Central champion, blowing past Conway and Cabot the last 2 weeks. Conway's offense did explode for 18 runs against Bryant in the regular season finale to give them momentum. Cabot with a convincing win over North Little Rock, the wild, wild west, as we call up there in NWA. They finally saw some separation with Fort Smith Southside claiming the 3 seed after a sweep of Springdale over the weekend. And then Bentonville and Bentonville West split their series, while Rogers Heritage split with Rogers giving them a playoff spot. So Rogers Heritage softball and baseball clinches a spot in the state tournament. And so kind of what we, I think, expected, pretty much everything that I just mentioned there. This is something that's not really a whole lot of surprise to us, especially some of the stuff that we talked about last week.
Yeah, and if you get a chance to go to Scorebook Live today, Steve Andrews did a really good article on Rogers Heritage head coach Brian Walker. That is the same Brian Walker who was a catcher for the Arkansas Razorbacks from 2005 to 2007. And it goes into, you know, his journey from a catcher to pro ball player, college coach, high school coach, and what he's doing now. I've developed a really good relationship with Brian since he moved back to the state of Arkansas when he was at Wichita State under Todd Butler, actually recruited a couple of our guys from our summer program. So Brian's doing a really good job up there. He's got 7 seniors that have been through it with him through thick and thin. They're going to play college baseball next year. Aiden Almeida, one of those guys on the mound for him that's going to do big things at the next level. So Rogers Heritage is kind of a wild card. They're going to take on Bryant. Bryant, we had in the top 5 at the start of the year because of all the depth they had. Turner Seelinger's going to Crowder. You got the Colin Morrow. He's going to play college baseball. They got Gideon Motes, who's committed to the Razorbacks, first baseman pitcher. They've got a lot of guys that can really play baseball at a high level. They just haven't put it together this year. So if they can do it for a 3-game stretch, they may surprise some people. So Bryant's going to play Rogers Heritage, and the winner of that game is going to play Rogers. In the second matchup, you got all Fort Smith battle, the Battle of Rogers Avenue, as they call it in football. Southside's going to take on Northside. The winner of that game is going to play Conway. And then the bottom half of the bracket, you got Bentonville. They got the number 4 seed out of the West. Thankful for their split with Bentonville West. They're going to take on North Little Rock. North Little Rock comes in as a number 5 seed for the second straight year. The winner of that game will take on Catholic. And then in the final game, Cabot will play Bentonville West. Probably going to get Aaron Arnold on that game for Bentonville West. And then Cabot may counter with sophomore Aiden Velasquez. He's been really good for the Panthers down the stretch. The winner of that game will play Springdale Harbor. Harbor did get that bye. You know, they've been playing really good baseball this season. They lost 2 straight to Rogers, but they've kind of rebounded. They've played some games since then that have really shown their offensive propensity. They need to get out there and swing the bat this week if they want a chance to play for another state title. Anything can happen in 6A. Of course, in 2019, North Little Rock, they beat Van Buren in round 1. They beat Bryant in round 2, Bentonville West in the semifinals, and then got to Baum Stadium and beat Springdale Harbor in what was probably the biggest upset in recent high school state championship history. So a lot of even matchups in the first round. As we say in every classification, depth is going to matter, how you set up your pitching. You got to go with your ace in round 1. You can't say, oh, well, we can beat these guys with our number 2 or number 3, and then we'll throw our ace against the second round, because the second round is not guaranteed. So they will be playing the 6A state championship in Springdale this week. Northwest Arkansas has great facilities and should be some great games.
You mentioned Brian Walker there at the top when we got into 6A. What was that 2 years ago that we did that interview with him on the Hog Talk?
Yeah,
it was like July of 20. I'm going to have to pull that back up and then post that. I was telling Steve about it. I haven't read Steve's article yet, but he was telling, or he mentioned on his Facebook that he had done an interview with him. And of course, every time you think of Brian Walker, you think of the Ole Miss game where he is basically let's call it what it is, he faked the getting the hit.
Yeah, getting hit. Yeah.
And he goes at length about that. And I always go, but anytime his name comes up, you know my hatred. If anybody knows my hatred for Ole Miss, it's you. And just because it happened to be that game, of course, we definitely brought that up and had him talk about it. But one of my favorite lines from that interview that we had with him is when he said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, I got a lot of hate mail, and I know that a lot of Ole Miss fans don't like me. Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not too crazy about Hottie Totty either. So I certainly, as much as I absolutely – outside of the Chicago Cubs, I hate no sports teams more so – or I guess school in this situation – I hate no school more than I hate Ole Miss. They are the most arrogant. They've literally done nothing ever, and they're the most arrogant, pompous people that I've ever – fan base, the whole nine yards. Of course, I don't want to get into it on here because you know I'll get fired up. But, yeah, great stuff nonetheless. Back to the important part of it, you definitely need to go check out Steve's interview or I guess his column that he did with Brian Walker. Always good stuff from Steve. He's probably the best feature writer, along with Nate, our editor, are the best feature writer that we have in Scorebook Live. But you can also check out on the website, or like Kevin said a second ago, you can go check out all the brackets. We will always be mentioning that, probably just shoving it down your throats this week, as we want to make sure that you know that if you want to get scores, you want to get brackets, you want to see matchups, Scorebook Live is the place to go. Of course, also you can go to the AAA website. We're partnered with them. You can see all of the matchups and all of the scores through the week, and then, of course, through the state championship games. But, Kevin, great analysis as always, my man. We will talk with you next week when we preview the state championship games.
All right. Get out there. Make sure you wear some sunscreen this week. And, as always, play ball.
Up next, we've got softball with Jared Hawthorne. We're now joined by our softball guru, Jared Hawthorne. And Jared, it was just as we expected in the first week of the postseason for, well, I guess the second week of the postseason and regionals. And I had a good time covering the 2A North regional, which we will, of course, discuss. But plenty of other action across. There was a couple of upsets, nothing too terribly major in the championship games, at least. But a few there in the semifinals, some in the first round as well, and some teams that we expected to maybe make deep runs will not be doing that because they were bounced in the first round. Of course, if that happens, then you're not going to the state tournament. But looking forward to getting it in here. And so it's crazy that we're winding down the final really week or two of the 2022 softball season.
Yeah, I didn't get to make it to very many of the games this weekend, and I had spent a lot of time trying to live through other people updating me on scores and everything because of work. But I'll tell you, there was a few shockers for me, and then some, you know, expected large lopsided victories and some things like that. But it's hard to believe we're right here coming into the last week, 10 days of the season. Seems like we just started it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and of course, in any sport, when you have the regionals, especially whether it's basketball, baseball, softball, you're going to have the lopsideds when you have the ones versus fours, and that definitely happened quite a bit. I mean, in probably 90-something percent of the games. That's just kind of the way it works. But definitely day two at the one that I was at, day two and day three were really good. It was definitely not ideal having Mother Nature once again have a negative impact, and then we had to have Monday games. That was especially for the teams that had to travel very far, you know, went back on Sunday and then ended up coming back Monday. It definitely was not an ideal situation, but you can only do what you can do. And so we'll take it from the top, as we always do here in Class 1A. And, Jared, I'll tell you, you know, a team that we haven't really mentioned, I think that I had them in the Super 7 rankings in the preseason, but a team that we have not really discussed really at all is Bradley. And they've been on a tear. I think it's maybe 8 of their last 10 now that they've won. Now, they did lose to Taylor in the 1A4 regional championship game, but the fact that they got there after the way that they started, and especially the fact that, you know, we put Ouachita at number, we moved them up from number 4 to number 2, Ouachita, of course, in the rankings last week, and they just absolutely, Bradley took it to Ouachita on Saturday in a 15-5 win. Ainsley Moore and Allie Lane, which Ainsley Moore is really coming into her own, a 6'3", fresh, I think she's a freshman, and just really coming into her own, got some really good stuff lately. And those two, Ainsley Moore and Allie Lane, went a little over three innings and just allowed 5 combined hits and struck out 15 batters. And so, again, they did have that loss to Taylor, as we've said and we say just every single week. It's Taylor than everybody else. But, you know, those teams that we've really discussed over the last couple of weeks, the Wonder Views, the Washitas, those are two in particular that we've mentioned. Greers Ferry West Side certainly has come into that conversation as well. But that's a team that we have not discussed that could make a run as Bradley. And I think even though they fell 10-3 in the regional championship game to Taylor, that they are one to watch here as we get into the state tournament.
Well, without a doubt. Honestly, I saw Bradley play early in the year. Probably, I might have been at DMAC, I can't remember, but I saw them play about a half a game early in the year. And if you'd have told me then that they were going to state tournament, I'd have probably laughed at you.
I remember you because telling me they were down.
They were not playing well at all. And they didn't start well this year. You know, they struggled early. But I'm going to tell you what, there might not be a bigger turnaround during the season than what Bradley has done this year. They have played a really good ball down this stretch. For sure, Ainsley Moore has been on fire, just blowing smoke by people. I've heard several people say she's throwing in the middle 60s. You know, she's 6'2". That's just crazy. I mean, she has the frame that she gets a little bit of, you know, another year or two of maturity and muscle mass and things that come with that. With that frame, that kid's liable to be throwing middle 70s before it's said and done. That's just crazy. But she's done really, really well, especially down the stretch. And so is their, you know, their other pitcher. They have combined several times I've seen to really play well together. And Bradley's hit the ball well the last 3 or 4 games. I mean, I don't know exactly what the stats were tonight on the game with Taylor, but prior to that, they've been putting up some runs too. So not only are they getting it done in the circle and defensively, but they're putting up runs to get it done also. If you'd have told me they were going to beat Washita 15-5 ahead of time, I'd have probably laughed at you too. But, you know, that's the thing about softball. This game can change on a dime, and good teams have bad days, and teams get on fire like Bradley has, and they can play with or beat anybody.
And two things I do want to bring up real quick. First of all, the reason why I sound like I'm like speaking extremely monotone is because we're recording at night on a Sunday night, and I'm trying not to wake the baby and make my wife furious at me. But also, too, we'll mention some of the matchups that are going to happen in the state tournament this week, but we won't mention, of course, every single one of them. So you can go to scorebooklive.com. Under the Arkansas tab in the playoff section, you can find all of, I guess by the time that this podcast drops, you can find all of the matchups from 1 through 6A. Of course, we mentioned this in the first segment, in the baseball segment with Kevin as well, but just wanted to remind you guys of that. But, Jared, another one. So, Greers Ferry West Side, we hadn't talked about them a ton, but they've been really dominant all postseason. Now, they weren't in the strongest regional. We'll go ahead and point that out. But through 5 games, they've outscored opponents 47-4. Their ace pitcher, McKenna Biddle, she's been in her bag, just absolutely out of her mind, throwing 17 innings, striking out 44 batters and allowing just 2 hits to no earned runs. And I just mentioned Wonder View, but something we got to point out too, they lost to Guy Perkins 6-0 in their regional. I believe that was the 1A3 regional. And they beat Sacred Heart 10-0, Wonder View did, in the semifinal, but then Guy Perkins came and shut them out. And, you know, I don't really know a ton about Guy Perkins, to be completely honest with you. I don't know if they're really one of those sleeper teams, but I do think we discussed a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the depth of the 1A2. We talked about maybe about 4 or 5 teams that are really just maybe behind Taylor that could possibly make a deep run and eventually maybe get to the state championship game and play Taylor. But to me right now, as it is of this week, and, you know, we're getting in really to the grind of the final parts where, you know, everybody is a true contender and no pretender. There's still probably some pretenders out there. But I think really right now, Bradley is the sleeper. Greers Ferry West Side is up there. And that's really about it to me right now. Again, I don't want to discredit Guy Perkins. They won their district, beat a very good Wonder View team, shut them out. But right there behind Taylor this week. And I still think you got to throw Washita in there too. Just because they did take a drumming from Bradley doesn't necessarily mean that they're out of it. So you probably got to throw them in there as well. But right now, to me, I think McKenna Biddle is the difference there for Greers Ferry West Side. They've also got some pretty good bats. And then Bradley. So kind of just like a recap of what we just discussed. I really do think that it's probably, we had mentioned that it was maybe about four or five teams. I think we're probably at about three right now, other than Taylor.
Well, I'll definitely, to touch on what McKenna Biddle has done, there's maybe one or two other instances in the state this year in softball that a pitcher has had a three-game stretch like she's had. I know Ayla Buford at Taylor had a stretch where I think she had two perfect games and a no-hitter right there in the middle. And then, but for McKenna Biddle to do that, what she's done over the last three games in regional competition, you know, all the way through a championship, that's just unheard of. That girl is playing as well as any pitcher in the state of Arkansas right now. If she continues to be on fire like she is, I wouldn't count them out for giving anybody, you know, a run for their money for a state championship. They're a very solid team. If I'm not mistaken, I think they have Lacey Baker.
Yeah.
You know, a couple others. I'm not thinking of their names right now that are really strong ball players. And McKenna Biddle is without a doubt just a beast of a pitcher. So they've got the horses to get it done. Taylor is really tough. I mean, they proved that again tonight after the hot stretch that Bradley has been on, and then Taylor apparently handled them pretty well tonight. I think it was 10-3 final. That game, I think, just finished up not very long ago. And Ouachita, I think they had an off game the other day against Bradley, or maybe Bradley just was firing on all cylinders. But I wouldn't count them out either. They've got too deep on pitchers. They've got good defense and good hitting. So Ouachita may have just had a bad day the other day. So yeah, there's still about four, maybe five there that have a real shot at winning it. That any of those that, depending on having the right game at the right time and the right matchup, might get them over the hump to get them into that state championship.
Well, and Ouachita had one of those games that could possibly, you know, it's either going to be one of those that's going to make or break them. And I've been in that position as an athlete. I've actually talked to quite a few coaches about that over the last week or so, you know, an incident that happened to where when this now different sport, so it was football, but we were 9-0 my sophomore year when I was at CAC, went into the Mayflower game. We were, again, 9-0. They were like 4-5. They kicked our butts, and that was really like something that we needed as a wake-up call. We ended up making it to state and losing to Nashville, but the point of the story is it's either going to be one of those things where that team that really crushes you is going to beat you twice because it's going to mess you up mentally, or you're going to learn from it. And I think that's what happened with Ouachita. You know, that's a similar situation there. And another similar situation as we go up to 2A happened in the 2A North Regional. With, of course, it was Rector and Riverside in the consolation game, and then East Poinsett County and McCrory in the championship game that EPC ended up winning. But I talked with Chris Richardson, Rector's head coach, after the game, and he was pretty disappointed. You know, he's definitely said that was the worst that his team's played all year, and they had a really, really tough day, particularly there. There was a lot of mental errors, you know, throughout the game that really didn't affect them at that moment. But then once we got to the top of the seventh, that was really just about the end. I think they had maybe two or three errors in that inning, but Riverside was able to capitalize on all those and get three runs to end up winning the game 4-1. You know, so it just didn't quite turn out, you know, the way that they had wanted. But, you know, the fact of the matter is Rector's still in. They're still in the state championship or the state tournament. But they face a Lavaca team that we have not talked about this year, Jared, but they've really began to pick it up. And I've talked with Randy Hogan a little bit, their head coach, and great guy, really class act, just like I've always had great experiences with the entire Lavaca. I'm sorry.
Lavaca.
I do that all the time. I did that during basketball season whenever they won the boys 2A state championship. But I definitely want to give Coach Hogan and his team a huge shout-out. I mean, they beat Mansfield in their regional, in the 2A West regional in the championship, 1-0 in a pitcher's duel. Kind of some notes from that. Hannah Winchester was the winning pitcher. This is her third consecutive shutout. So this is another pitcher that, you know, we did a pitcher's list, and I'll be honest with you. I did not really hear of her until the last week or so, and I think a lot of that is just because, you know, Lavaca is one of those small towns, and they've had some really good players that have stood out this year and have really began to pick it up and heat up at the right time. And it's one of those things where, you know, Rector's in a tough spot because they're coming off two losses in a row, something that they're not really accustomed to. Whereas Lavaca wins this pitcher's duel. I think it was Allison Edwards that they were throwing against. And as we know, Allison Edwards is a dang good pitcher. She can definitely get it done. And so, you know, you look at that whole situation right there with being able to win a pitcher's duel and having the horses to do that. But then you also, I think, Jared, the surprise in 2A was Magnet Cove getting beat by Parker's Chapel in basically a low football score, 19-16 in the first round of the 2A South Regional. I think that was definitely something that we didn't see coming. We had talked about Magnet Cove possibly being able to make a deep run, but you know, I've liked Rector all season. I think we've had them in the polls, you know, probably for over half the season. They've definitely deserved that, and they're still a solid team. They're just definitely going to need to regroup. But I really like Lavaca right now. I also like Mansfield still. They were, I believe, a 10-game win streak before they had that loss. But I'll talk a little bit more about the 2A, the EPC McCrory game, but I'll kind of get your thoughts on, you know, the Magnet Cove game and some of the other teams that you could see possibly getting hot in the state tournament or staying hot in the state tournament.
Well, on the Magnet Cove game, I didn't get to see it, and I reached out for a couple of messages trying to get a little bit of info. I didn't get much back from actual coaches, but I had a couple parents from both sides and from some neutral teams that were there that watched that game and told me that Magnet Cove just really struggled defensively. They had quite a few errors that game. And I mean, obviously there was a lot of runs scored. I think, what was it? 19-16.
Yeah.
19-16. Final, you know, which they did go, I think they did go extra innings. So that helps add a few runs on the board. But from what I could tell, Parker's Chapel did a good job of putting a bat on the ball to put the ball in play. Magnet Cove struggled with handling it. And, you know, it just one of those games that they didn't have their best game. I don't know that they played terrible, but they didn't have their best game, and it was at the wrong time and it bounced them out before they had a chance to get in the state tournament. Magnet Cove is a loaded team. There's no doubt. I saw them a couple of different times in person this year, in-person games, and they have the talent that they could have made a deep run. They just had that bad game at the wrong time, and it cost them. And that, you know, that happened to a couple of other teams that it got shocked. But that's the nature of this game, is at any given time you can have that bad game. We were talking about Rector and McCrory and some of them and how they're going to respond to taking the losses. I know that's something that I preach to my kids when I'm coaching the travel team that I coach. When you take a loss that you're not expecting to, how are you going to respond? Are you going to learn from it? Are you going to get better? Are you going to put everything on the line in that next game? Or are you going to let that defeat you mentally and you're going to fall off? I mean, for an example, we played a tournament this last summer and we played a team that we had run ruled multiple times earlier in the summer. And they beat us in the first round of a tournament and beat us solidly, like 8-3. And I mean, I think we just kind of thought in our head, you know, that we were going to go in and win that game easily, and we weren't focused and we weren't ready, but it served as a really good wake up call. And our girls came ready to play. And after that, it woke them up and it sharpened their focus. And we won 6 in a row to get back to the championship of the tournament. So it was a good wake up call for our bunch. And I think it's going to serve that way for a couple of these teams. I think it's going to snap them back and get them ready to go. Hopefully that's what you see out of a couple of these teams, that they learn from it and they get better and they go forward.
Well, and I think that the 2A regional, in terms of like overall depth, it's definitely the most challenging when you look at, and it's not just because we have, you know, three out of those eight teams in our Super 7 top four. I'm not just saying it because of that, but I truly believe that, you know, East Poinsett County has been worthy of their ranking. I believe that McCrory's been, not to take anything away from Tuckerman, I know that's been a big argument, not necessarily between you and I, but some of the fine folks up in Northeast Arkansas, and I don't say that sarcastically, I truly mean the fine folks up in Northeast Arkansas that might have a different opinion than, you know, you or I, or definitely me. But, you know, Tuckerman will be our number one team, of course, this week after McCrory going down. But, you know, I'm careful how I say this because I don't want it to come across the wrong way. But I just think that a lot have, even with guests being out or with out of the circle, of course. But even when she's just batting or in the circle, regardless, I think that many people just thought that it was going to be a cakewalk for Tuckerman this year. But the thing about it is, despite their talent, I mean, when you look at Mikaeli Gist and Kenzie Soden and Gracie Smith and on down the line, I know there's an outfielder that's coming to mind too that's also really good, but they're really, really good across the board. But I think that people forget that Mansfield, like, had that game won last year in the state tournament, and then Tuckerman came back. And so I say all that to say that it was not going to be a cakewalk from the beginning. And I think that Matt Dillon would probably tell you the same thing. And even though that they are from top to bottom, I say this just about every single week, from top to bottom, they're the most talented team in 2A, and it's probably not even close. But then you also look at Woodlawn, that I know I've been critical maybe of their schedule, that they've got no control over that. But with the way that Lily Faye has been in her bag, I mean, she's just been phenomenal all season, and that continued through regional play. I think, Jared, I think she struck out like 38 batters, or so, 37 batters, 8 hits allowed in 3 complete games. I mean, she is just unbelievable. She's been all season long amazing. But you look at Woodlawn, Tuckerman, certainly contenders there. But I still could see possibly the state. I really like EPC. You know, seeing them this week, I still like McCrory a lot too. They hit the ball pretty well. Not, I don't know about their pitching against some of the, you know, like the Tuckermans and you know, stuff like that. But I really like what EPC has. You know, Kellyanne Lucas really came on. I think that she was probably the MVP of the 2A North Regional. And, you know, who knows, you know, how it's going to turn out. But I liked a lot of the teams that we saw there. You know, Rector did take a few steps back, but I still really like what we have with McCrory. I really feel like it's back to about what we thought a couple of weeks ago before McCrory had come into that top, or I'm sorry, before Rector had come into that top four. That right now, you know, you got Tuckerman at number one, and then right behind them, we'll probably have EPC. I don't know this because at the time that we're recording, I don't really have all the rankings put together. But to me, it's probably Tuckerman, EPC, Woodlawn, and then Woodlawn or McCrory at that 3 or 4 spot. But either way, you're top 4 teams, no question. I think that's pretty much where we're at in Class 2A right now.
Yeah, I'm agree with you on the top 4 there for sure. I don't know yet how I feel between EPC and Woodlawn behind Tuckerman. I like Tuckerman. If Gist is able to play, if she's able to pitch the way she's been able to in spots here and there lately and really help push them over the top, they have the talent. They have the bats. They have the defense. They have the talent top to bottom for sure at Tuckerman. And if she's able to go on in the circle to be that difference maker, Tuckerman's going to be really tough to beat. Now, you take her out of the equation, I think you've got 4 teams that are all pretty equal. I think when you look at EPC, they're a very solid team, top to bottom, all the way across. Woodlawn, for sure, is, you know, they've been a really strong team all year. We've talked about this multiple times, and I'll say it again. Anytime that you have Lily Faye McWhirter pitching for you, you have a chance to win. Yeah. I don't care who you're playing.
No question.
A chance to win.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
And I'll tell you, she's a difference maker. And not that team's not good without her, because they are. They're a solid team. But when you put her in the circle, and especially if she has the stuff that she's capable of, they can beat anybody. So if she catches fire and is really – got her best stuff, I wouldn't bet against them. And then for sure McCrory has looked great all year. Took a tough one, you know, in the championship game for their regional, but they've looked solid all year. I can't remember if they lost 4 or 5 for the whole season.
I think it's 4. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, 4. Anytime you can go a whole season and only lose 4 games, I don't care who you are or where you played, you've got a good team. And so those 4 to me is, I would say, about 75% certainty that the state champion is going to come out of those four teams. And I'm not knocking anybody else that's in state tournament. There's some other good teams in there. Rector's a good team. They have a chance to make a little run because they're very solid. They had a couple of tough games right here. But I just feel like what I've seen of them and what I've been able to see some videos and some film on them and what I know of the individual players off of those teams, those four teams probably have at least a little bit of a step up above the rest of the teams in the state as far as getting to the championship.
Yeah, and I you guys will definitely have to go to our site and check out my recap of the 2A North Regional Championships. I don't really want to get into it here because I know, Jared, you weren't there to see it, and it was kind of confusing to actually talk about. It's probably actually going to be more confusing to read about. But then again, I feel like that I did explain it in some pretty good detail, but there was some drama that went on at the top of the seventh inning between EPC and McCrory. Basically, there was a interference play aiding the runner, essentially, whenever EPC ended up getting on their score. They scored, five runs in the top of the seventh. And when all that got started, there was kind of some drama that both the coaches were talking with the umps and all that stuff. But you can definitely go check that out in my story. It's quite interesting, and it definitely got pretty chippy. There had to be cops. I mean, it's actually this is kind of embarrassing, but I'm not going to go into details much more than that, but there had to be cops on both sides of the stands because of some of the things that were not necessarily being said, but kind of where it was going, which, you know, that's I'll just leave it at that. It's the kind of sad that it got to that point. But going up to class 3A, I like Atkins as a sleeper, Jared. You look at how they played against Baptist Prep. Now, it's still Baptist Prep and everybody. Baptist Prep by a long shot. But really, past that, Lincoln and Boonville will get into their game here in just a second. But I wanted to bring up Atkins. Atkins has also beaten Lincoln once. They've played they played Lincoln three times. They've also played Baptist Prep, I think, two or three other times. They've played top 2A competition in Mansfield and Lavaca, but granted, that was at the beginning of the year. But still, nonetheless, they did play them and beat them. Lost by a run to Morrilton, and they crushed a really good CAC team 13-2. And so, again, I'm not necessarily saying that they're going to be a sleeper to win the state championship because that's probably, that's one that I'd probably bet. I'd say maybe 5A and 3A were the ones that I'd maybe bet money. I'm joking, but I'm just saying if I were a betting man, that's probably where I would go. Maybe if I was going to bet money on any class would be 3 and 5A. But I definitely think that Atkins could probably send one or two teams home earlier than they expected. They could probably crash the party for a couple people, but man, when you look at Baptist Prep, I mean, in three regional games, they allowed zero runs, only two hits, and I think between Mackenzie Childers and Liv Slayton, there was like over 40 strikeouts or something like that. I mean, just crazy numbers. I still don't see how anybody is going to beat Baptist Prep, maybe even on Baptist Prep's average day, just because they're just simply that good. I mean, there's just nothing else that needs to be said.
Well, we've been talking about this all year. Baptist Prep is loaded and loaded some more. Mackenzie Childers is just lights out. Liv Slayton is a great pitcher, and she'd be a number one and a superstar anywhere else, and she's still a great pitcher and definitely well known and all those things. But they, in my opinion, will not get. I don't know if anybody's going to get within five runs of them. Not that there's not great teams out there. You know, Boonville and Lincoln are absolutely solid teams with all kinds of talent. It just what they have done, what Baptist Prep has done to everybody, and to go along with what you said with Atkins, Atkins played them better than anybody has anywhere around. So I definitely agree with you on the fact that Atkins will have a chance to probably send a team or two home. I haven't got to see the brackets to see who's going to match up with who. In that regard, but when we start looking at the actual matchups and looking at those, I think Atkins is probably going to win a game or two for sure. I don't know if anybody can get it done against Baptist Prep. I don't think so. I might get surprised, but My betting money would be somewhere between Boonville and Lincoln if somebody has any shot at knocking off Baptist Prep.
Well, so Atkins has Bismarck, and Bismarck's one of those sneaky teams too. So, you know, I definitely am not going to say that's going to be a cakewalk, but the winner of that probably gets Boonville. Boonville and Rivercrest play in the other side. So it's more than likely going to be Boonville in the second round, which, you know, Boonville's on a hot streak, of course. So now they are on the opposite side of the bracket of Baptist Prep. So they do have that at least working for them. You know, just yep. because they would have to, if they did play Baptist Prep again, it would be in the state championship. So like on that side, I know we said we weren't going to go through all of these, but for this case we will. So you got on that side of the bracket, you've got Bald Knob, Valley Springs, Smack Over in Mayflower, Boonville, Rivercrest, Atkins, and Bismarck. So I definitely think that first game is certainly winnable. Again, you know, Bismarck is a team that we've kind of talked about a few times throughout this season as a sleeper, but I'm telling you, man, just with the way that Atkins has played this year, really, I mean, I don't know that I would say above their talent necessarily, but it has been an extremely brutal schedule that I really didn't notice. I knew they had played Lincoln about two or three times, and obviously I knew they had played Baptist Prep a few times, but with the emergence of Mayflower, the way that they've really come on, another really young team that has a bunch of freshmen, I think that just that conference has been much better than people give it respect for. But yeah, I mean, I could definitely see, you know, Atkins taking down Bismarck in that first round, and that Boonville Atkins matchup could be maybe a little bit better than people expect. But Lexi Franklin is another pitcher that's just on another level right now.
Well, Boonville has absolutely caught fire. I mean, not that they haven't been a really good team all year long, but their last, I would say maybe 5-6 game stretch, they have just been hammering people, and they have definitely turned it up a notch at the right time. And I knew that game today would be a really good ball game between them and Lincoln. And I don't know all the specifics because I haven't got to look at the stats and all the stuff that goes with that game. I know that it was a tight game and back and forth, and I was really on the fence about who I thought would win that game between Lincoln and Boonville, and I guess that was with justification because it seemed like it was a pretty tight game the whole way, and Boonville just got it done. You know, they've been on a tear.
Yeah, I think Lincoln got off to a one that I was going to get into that game next. They got off to a 1-0 start, and then Boonville ended up, I think, getting out to like a 7. Now, of course, I was just getting the updates as I was at the game, so I might be completely off here. But nonetheless, we'll just leave it at this. It was a back-and-forth game that, just as we expected, between two extremely talented teams. And you know, this Boonville, I'll say this, and I'll even apologize. I underrated them badly. You know, I think that's one team that I never even mentioned. I don't think we either really brought it up that much. But they were quiet. They were by far the quietest team to basically almost be undefeated this year. The only loss that they've had is that 1-0 loss to Hackett, like in like their fourth or fifth game of the season or something like that. So I think that's definitely one that we've underrated badly. And like you think about it, and this is something you and I talked about via text. You talk about the great pitcher. We've been singing praises of Brinkley Morton and Mackenzie Freeman, and rightfully so all year. Mackenzie Childers, Liv Slayton, all those great pitchers in 3A. And I think another one is the Rainey kid from Mayflower has also been really good this year. But Lexi Franklin is right up there with some of the top pitchers in Class 3A. I mean, the way that she's been playing, the way she's been shutting people down, that's also another one that has certainly caught our attention, especially, I mean, she's been great all season, but of course now it took her, I do think it did take her a little bit to get adjusted from basketball season because Boonville did make it fairly far. And then she had to come from there to softball, but overall this season, she's just been absolutely money.
Well, and that was one thing I was going to say, and I agree with you to the point that I think we've been a little bit behind on getting Boonville where they should be with the talent that they had, but they lost early in the season, and they had a lot of really close games that they won that I think that kind of had me held up a little bit on them, was they were winning by one or two runs against some teams that I thought they should have probably run ruled, and maybe it was the coming out of basketball, Lexi Franklin getting going, I'm not sure. But when they kind of hit that midway point of the season, you started seeing their margins of victory creeping up a little bit bigger. They started just really starting to kind of pound people and winning games and beating tough teams. And so I think it was a progression with them. Even though they only lost one game, they had a lot of close games early that kind of kept me from wanting to push them a little higher in my opinion on the rankings than what they were. But they've definitely turned it up more than a notch. I'll say they turned it up a notch. They probably turned it up three or four notches, because from the midpoint of the season on, they have been as good or better than anybody in the state. So that definitely kudos to them to play to their potential and really start playing at the top of their abilities here lately.
Yeah, and Lincoln, like I said, I went through that 3A bracket there. They will play. So if they end up playing Baptist Prep, of course, that will be in the semifinals. So Lincoln's going to have to get past Hoxie and then either CAC or Ashdown, and that would set up a meeting with more than likely Baptist, because Baptist Prep's got Falk, and then they played the winner of, man, that Hackett's going to get them in the second round if they beat Pangburn. So yeah, that's definitely going to be a tough draw for the Hackett Hornets there. They've fallen on, I don't want to say they've fallen on tough times, but they've definitely taken a little bit of a step back, you know, against good competition since they went on a big time run there during the regular season. But, or go ahead.
But I was just going to say Boonville helped themselves tremendously by getting that win today and getting on the opposite side of the bracket from Baptist Prep.
Yeah, I think that was definitely the goal of just anybody in Class 3A. It's like, well, let's make sure that we do whatever we can to do that. Because, I mean, I think that there's no coach that would ever, and I'm not saying that's what, you know, like I would never put words in of any coach in particular in anybody's mouth, but I'm saying in general, I definitely am sure that happens quite a bit in every sport. It's just because, you know, whether it's taking a loss to get in a certain side, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, you definitely want to be on the opposite side of that. And so moving up to Class 4A, the game that we were pretty much all confident that we would see in the 4A South was Nashville and Bauxite, and that did happen. Jared, I seriously thought, and I know we were basically one run away from it happening, I thought that it was going to be a clean sweep of the 4A7. I think that they definitely have proved that they are. We've been saying it for a long time that they're the top conference in Class 4A, and I certainly believe that they proved that. So in the 4A South Regional, Mena did lose to Hamburg in the first round, but then Malvern, Bauxite, and Nashville did advance, and then Nashville ended up beating Bauxite 5-3 in the championship game. Boomer Brown was absolutely ecstatic. When we talk a little bit here and there after games, you know, he gives me stats and some of the main points. I know he talks with you some as well afterwards a lot of times, and you know, just absolutely raved about how Macy McJunkins has just been completely pretty much dominant over the last two games in particular. I think the defense has only committed like one error in the last like three or four games, something like that. But Macy had another great game against Bauxite, allowing just four hits against maybe the best power hitting team, one of the best power hitting teams in the entire state, regardless of classifications, and then had 12 strikeouts. And then just, you know, another great performance by the Scrapperettes. I think really outside of Benton, to me, they've played just about the Benton and Bentonville. And Rogers has played another really good one that one comes to mind. But Nashville has certainly played one of the toughest schedules of any, certainly in Class 1 to 4A. It's not even close to me, in my opinion. They've played some of the top competition and done pretty dang good. I mean, we always revisit the weekend that they were in the Benton tournament. They lost 13-3 to Rogers, but that one got away from them in like the fifth or sixth inning. So they were right there, got away from them. And then basically Alyssa Houston just won the game on two swings whenever Benton and Nashville played at the end of the day in that tournament, the last game of that one. So, you know, I think, Jared, you know, I've told you this and I've told many people this. I think Macy McJunkins is the most underrated pitcher in the state. We mention all these names, and I'm not saying she's better than this or you know, this or that player. And I know she signed with SAU, so she's already pretty much gained, like, you know, the attention that she needs. But I talk with people about great arms and stuff, and I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying in general some of the ones I've talked about around the state, and I just don't ever hear her name hardly mentioned. And I've seen her a couple of times, and she's absolutely phenomenal, and she's got a phenomenal team around her. I still, as much as I like Bauxite, as much as I like Valley View, as much as I like Stuttgart and a few other teams, I just don't see anybody beating Nashville this year.
Well, I'll tell you, I think the issue with why Macy McJunkins doesn't get the recognition that she probably does, and it's that she's somewhat underrated. She's not a pitcher, not that she can't, but she's not a pitcher that normally tries to just blow gas by you. She wins ball games with spin, speed changes, and locating, you know, hitting her spots and locating. She is a tremendous pitcher that, in my mind, when if you wanted to equate it over, she's maybe kind of like Greg Maddux. She can hit spots. She can change speeds. She can throw it where she wants to, for she wants somebody to hit the ball, but hit it the way she wants it hit instead of hitting the ball hard. And that's the sign of a true, just talented pitcher, that they can do all those things and control a ball game. And I've watched her, you know, a couple of times now, and watching her pitch, it's like watching somebody paint or something. I mean, it's just amazing to watch her. To watch the way she changes locations and changes speeds, and she intentionally throws the ball for somebody to hit the ball, in my opinion, sometimes. But she knows she's going to get it in on the handle on them, or she's going to make them reach high and outside and pop something up. And I enjoy watching a pitcher like that probably more than I do somebody that's just sitting back and fireballing, you know, and blowing the ball by people. Both of them are fun to watch, but I love seeing her pitch, and she's, in my opinion, that Ayla Buford back down and talking about it from Taylor pitches a lot like Macy McJunkins. And so those two, I just enjoy watching them pitch because they can change speeds and change locations and do all the things that they can do with spin and movement more than just raw speed. Nashville's team overall, I'm blown away at the ability that they show on defense. They don't make very many errors. They can small ball you to death if they have to, you know, on the hitting side. And with her pitching, that's what they get, what they need, and they win ball games. And I have a hard time seeing anybody beating them. Bauxite would have been one of the few teams I would have given a shot at beating them, and they've beaten Bauxite 2 out of 3 so far this year. So that kind of, in my opinion, answers the question to who I think will win it all. There's a lot of good teams in 4A, but I think Nashville is going to be really hard to beat.
And then some of the other scores. So Valley View, they ended up losing to Stuttgart 2-0 in the 4A East Regional. So Stuttgart, number 2, defeats number 3. And then, of course, Bauxite, we have at number 4, lost to Nashville. And then I think that was all that played on Monday. That's all that played on Monday in their regional games. But I mean, I think that it's those 4. I mean, right now it's, you know, again, we always want to add in there, no disrespect to any other teams, but just kind of the way that we see it playing out right now, it just really seems like it's those 4 teams. Stuttgart pretty much refuses to lose. I mean, if Emma Banks is healthy, I like them just with against pretty much anybody except for maybe Nashville. And then also to Valley View, you know, the way that they've shown that they can pretty much sneak up and beat just about anybody. I mean, they were the ones that really, they gave Cabot their first loss, and Cabot's dropped off a little bit now, but still a really good team. So definitely those top 4 right there that we've been saying for a little while are certainly the favorites. So won't spend a ton of time on 5 and 6A because not a lot of stuff has changed since a lot of the things that we discussed last week. I'll go through some of the seeds here. So in Class 5A, the East seeds 1 through 4, you've got Greene County Tech, Marion, Searcy, Paragould. Central seeds, Benton, Beebe, Little Rock Christian, Maumelle. West, you got Van Buren, Greenwood, Valonia, Mountain Home. And then the South seeds, Sheridan, Whitehall, Lake Hamilton, and Lakeside. Now, Jared, we were supposed to get possibly a preview of the state championship this past week, but we didn't due to the weather. Sheridan was supposed to play at home against Benton. Benton dang near lost to Bryant on Sunday night in an 11 innings, which we'll get into that here in just a second. But Sheridan is definitely one of those that's I seriously believe that they are on well on their way to possibly creating another dynasty like they had from 2015 or 2016 until 2019, and maybe could have had another one in 2020 if it didn't get canceled. But, you know, it's pretty much Benton and everybody else right now. They've played the best of the best in the entire state and beaten everybody. They're on close to a 60-game win streak over the last 2 years. I think they're actually at 60 or 58, 59, something like that. I really do like Sheridan, but then I look at this list, and I mean, Greenwood is really hot out of the West. I don't know that I like Van Buren at the one seed. I just don't. They've done really good winning. You know, I can't really say because I haven't watched a lot, but I just don't know. I feel like I like Greenwood a little bit more right now than I think I do like them. The Central, BB, you know, starts again with Benton, but BB, I really like their pitching. That's really going to take them maybe a little bit further than some people might expect them to. And then in the East, you know, Greene County Tech has played a pretty tough schedule, beaten a lot. But out of that, you know, between them, Marion, Searcy, and Paragould, I certainly like GCT as the top seed. But we can just keep going around and around. But like we always say with Taylor Baptist Prep, Benton, it's just until somebody beats them, there's just really not much else you can say.
Well, I'm not knocking anybody because in 5A, anybody can beat anybody. But, I mean, obviously, I don't feel like anybody's going to beat Benton. I think they're going to finish the season undefeated, and I may eat my words on that, but that's just my opinion. But outside of them, I really like Sheridan, and I really like BB. And I'll tell you, Sheridan has a ton of talent. And they're really starting to come on. They got a big win. I think they beat Conway tonight. Some of their kids have really started hitting the ball well. I think Caitlin Horton hit the ball well tonight. Mary Lim always hits the ball well. Cooper Terry is just an amazing pitcher, and she hits the ball well, and she can play anywhere in the field you want to put her. And there's a ton of kids that I'm not even mentioning that are – in my opinion, probably top 200, 300 in the nation. Sheridan has talent upon talent upon talent, and they're really starting to put it together. And I think you're right. They have so much young talent. Sheridan definitely looks like they could put together a pretty good run from here forward, you know, a 3 or 4 year stretch of being really tough in 5A. BB has a couple of really strong pitchers. Kiki Pickens is a good pitcher, a great hitter. They're coming on strong at the right time. So I think Sheridan and BB are my next two behind Benton. And that's not taking anything away from anybody else. There's a lot of good teams there, but those are the two that I feel like have the best shot to get there.
Yeah, and basically, just like I said, we're going to kind of combine 5 and 6A, but I guess you could say going up to 6A, they Bryant almost beat Benton on Sunday. I say Sunday because I guess, you know, the podcast drops Monday, but they dang near did it. And Benton's had that, like I said, Nashville almost beat them back in April. Granted, both of those teams had played, you know, a lot of games, like I think two other games that day, and so that probably had an effect too. But, I mean, you look at Bentonville – and they never even really, for the most part, came close to beating Benton. But I still think, like I said last week, you know, Bryant is a great team. There's a reason why we've had him in our top five. I think we've had him in our top three we've had him in the top five pretty much all season. We've had him in our top three for a little while now. I mean, they have really picked up their hitting. I mean, they've been a pretty good hitting team all season, but it seems like really from about like early April on, they've just been really, really good at the plate. They've been pretty good in the circle as well. And so that's one of those two that certainly, I mean, I'm pretty much in the same position that I said last week that, you know, there's certain areas that, you know, I might question Bryant on or certain areas that I might question Rogers on, but I still think it's, you know, it's like right up there with Bentonville, Bryant, and Rogers. I just don't know that I trust anybody else. Cabot, of course, was up there at one point. I don't really like them much right now. I don't really like North Little Rock much. And, you know, again, I'm careful how I say that. It's not that I don't like these teams. I just don't like them really to win state at the moment. But, you know, you look at the central seeds, 1 through 4, Bryant, Cabot, Conway, North Little Rock, and then the West, Bentonville, Rogers, West, and Rogers Heritage. I just don't see anything past Bentonville, Rogers, or Bryant that's going to really challenge even Benton. I don't know that Rogers or Bryant's even going to challenge Bentonville, but I certainly don't see anything out of Bryant or Rogers that will, that will compete for against Bentonville just because they are who they are.
Well, I have Bentonville in my mind, is probably going to win it. But if there's, for me, if there's anybody that's going to knock Bentonville off, I like Bryant. And Bryant gave Benton everything they wanted tonight, from what I understand. Went 11 innings with them and lost 4-3. That's the closest anybody's played Benton, I think, in 2 years. But Bryant has one of the best hitters in the state in the Gentry kid. They have two or three just out of this world outfielders. And I think we mentioned last week, or at some point we mentioned something about their infield being a question mark. I don't know that their infield is a question mark. I just think that their outfield is outstanding. And so it kind of stands out, and they have great pitching. They're hitting the ball well. They're fielding the ball well. They're playing really good softball. And they played some really amazing really talented teams and out of state when they went over spring break and played out of state. They've challenged themselves and played some of the best competition in the state for sure all year. So if you're gonna nail me down on who I think has any shot at beating Bentonville, it's gonna be Bryant for me.
Yeah, that's I mean, because Rogers already played him a couple times, and for the most part, really just I mean, I'm not gonna say they didn't compete with them, but it's just going to be one of those things, because here's the thing about it. Like, with, there's a lot of teams that have, you know, two great pitchers, but when you look at Casey Wood at Bentonville, and then you look right behind her at Ryan Sanders with what they've been able to do. I mean, it seems like every time that they post their post game stats, I mean, both of those are just having, I think both have a perfect game to their credit this year, or at least a couple. I know Casey has one, and then a couple of no hitters as well. And so, it's just tough for me to think. And, you know, again, it's, you know, when we say that, we're not trashing anybody. We're just kind of calling them as we see it. And, but yeah, I'm with you. It's just those three still for me. And it probably will be next week too, but, we'll just have to see how things go in the state tournament. But then, but we will really, you know, the next week we'll, wrap everything up, at least in terms of the state tournament, and then preview this. We might actually have, because this segment went pretty long. So we might actually have, two different shows next week, if we can work that out, to do, you know, proper previews for each, maybe one day do 1-3, and the next day do 4-6 or something like that. We'll kind of play that as it goes, but nonetheless, it's a really exciting time. It's a bittersweet time, because we really want the season to keep going, because we love it and all. But I'll tell you, Jared, I'll be honest, it is going to be nice to have a little bit of a break, just to kind of kick back and relax before the grind of football season starts here in a couple of months.
Yeah, you take that break. My travel season's just That's about true. To fire off, That's and true. We're going to be crazy.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I'm fixing to hit my busiest time of the year. We're talking to college coaches. We're getting kids recruited, and we're fixing to start playing a lot of tournaments. So I've spent a lot of time over the last week starting to get all those ducks in a row, and I'm excited to get my travel kids together and go compete on a national level this summer. But I'm definitely going to miss the high school ball for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I think for me, it's just like, you know, I went through the grind of football season, then the grind of basketball season, covering guys and girls, keep in mind, then softball. And as much as I absolutely love it, you know, I do want to spend some time with my newborn, because I don't get to see her quite as much as I want to. I mean, I do, since I work at home, but yeah, it's definitely going to be nice. But I'm sure I'll definitely catch some Arkansas Platinum Hawthorne games this year, just make sure to kind of see what y'all got out there, and among so many others too. I know there's a lot of other great ones around here that definitely want to get an eye on. So, but guys, thank you so much for listening. As always, you can always listen on the website, scorebooklive.com, under the Arkansas tab in the top left corner, or on Spotify. And also too, if there's anything we're missing, please let us know at arprepextra@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. For Kevin Bohannon and Jared Hawthorne, I'm Kyle Sutherland. We will catch you next time.